We are back here on the Giants pregame show. Giants and the Marlins rubber match coming up at 1 o'clock here on KMBR. Kerry Crowley hanging with you, and it's time to bring in our next guest, the Athletic beat reporter Andrew Baggerly. Bags, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, Kerry. It's a busy day here. How are you?
Busy day indeed. Looking forward to all of your commentary on today's game, particularly after Elliot Ramos makes his debut. But you've already had the chance to chat with Elliot Ramos this morning. Tell us what the clubhouse scene was like and kind of the mood and energy with Ramos in there.
Yeah, first thing, walked in, see, okay, where'd they put his locker? Right next to Joey Bart. What number is he? 53. Okay. And then and there he comes strolling in. So we talked to him, and the first thing out of his mouth was, hey, this is the happiest day of my life. So, awesome moment for him. His brother obviously got to make his major league debut last year briefly with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and now he's playing professionally in Korea. So just a really neat time for the family. His mom and dad, I don't think, are going to get here for the game today from Puerto Rico, but they're going to be here tomorrow. So, he's a guy that Giants fans have heard about for a long time, and you forget how young he is. He's been so young at every level he's played at because he was drafted as a 17-year-old. So, a guy who's got the world in front of him and is a big, strong kid, and he's got a lot of athleticism and definitely someone to be excited about.
Yeah, just 22 years old, and that's hard to believe considering he was drafted so long ago, 2017, but he was drafted as a 17-year-old, and now he comes up batting sixth, playing left field in the Giants lineup today against Trevor Rogers' Bags. And I think the Elliot Ramos promotion on day three of the season caught a lot of people by surprise because Farhan and Gabe have said they want him to get a lot of upper-level at-bats. So what does this look like? Could Elliot Ramos just be here for a few days? Could he be here the rest of the season? What do you think the Giants' plans are right now for Ramos?
Yeah, like I think it was like maybe 48 hours ago, Farhan Zaidi told our Tim Kawakami that, you know, Ramos is a guy to remember because we're going to see him at some point this summer. And I somehow some point this summer became Sunday. So that was my question, is how much of this is premeditated? How much of this is a reaction? Because we know that this team is probably one right-handed bat light. You know, they didn't go out and they they weren't able to finish in the front of the running for Seiya Suzuki, who, by the way, just hit a three-run homer for the Cubs. They didn't go out and get, Trevor Story or some of these other bats. And so they need another right-handed hitter. And then you look at, Wilmer Flores' defense at third base, and he's DHing, and, oh, gosh, how are they going to get another right-handed bat in here against a lefty? And from what I understand, it's a little bit of a mix of both. I think when the season began, they realized that, hey, this could be one way we go against a left-handed pitcher. But I think, honestly, what probably swayed him the most, and this is not an organization that overreacts to a small sample, but, he had 17 plate appearances for Sacramento, and he hit an opposite field homer, hit a double. He also drew four walks. And I think that, what they're seeing from the last two springs, what they saw just at this brief snippet at Sacramento, I think they're seeing a guy who's making good swing decisions. In addition to, he's changed his swing a little bit. He's getting into his legs a little bit more. He's not swinging with, he's got such big, big shoulders and upper body strength that he can generate power, but he's working to try to unlock some of his pull power, which he hasn't really tapped into yet. And that means using his lower half. So you can see that more in his swing now. And they just feel like, hey, this is an opportunity. It's a window. We've got a roster spot to play with John Brebbia going on the bereavement list. They know that they're going to back that up with Tyler Rogers going on the paternity list, probably Monday or Tuesday. And they'll have Sean Manaea, at least one lefty facing that they'll face in the Padres series. So that I think in the past, teams would look at it as we're going to polish up this player into a finished product. And ideally we bring him up and we're sure that we're never going to send him back down. And now it's just different. I think there's more nuance to it. I think the players understand that if they're up for a couple weeks and get sent out, it's not a referendum on their worthiness or anything that crushes their spirit. So, he may only be up here for, a series or two, or he mashes and he shows that he's ready for this. And I think the Giants are just going to be super open-minded and just see what this looks like.
Well, you're absolutely right. The Giants don't waste 40-man roster spots. We knew we'd see Elliot Ramos. We know we'll see Sean Jelly at some point this season. If you're on the 40-man, there's a great opportunity for you to contribute on the 26-man or 28-man as it is in April. Chatting with Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic. And Bags, you had a masterclass in game storytelling yesterday with the Carlos Rodon story you wrote for The Athletic. I loved everything about it, from the swing and miss statistics that you included. But one of the most telling parts of your story to me was the quotes you got out of Joey Bart. These are not the type of quotes that you would have heard from Joey Bart talking about a pitcher in 2020. Joey Bart and Carlos Rodon have clearly already developed a strong working relationship, and I'm curious what your interaction was like in the clubhouse with Bart afterward, because he seemed jazzed. He seemed really excited by Rodon's potential in this Giants rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're pretty kindred spirits in a lot of ways. I mean, I think they're not to get too far into stereotypes, but they're kind of like men's men, I guess, you know. I'm sure they could probably go out and hunt some bucks or go fishing or something. I think these are guys who just sort of respect the, hey, I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to overpower you. And I'm going to have some swagger and some confidence. I'm going to unbutton the top couple buttons of my jersey and have no undershirt going and just let it roll. So, there's definitely some swagger there. And I think there's a little bit of mutual respect in just how these guys go about their business. It's a confidence. It's very much a sort of alpha male kind of way of looking at the game and looking at an opponent. And I know we're talking about, hey, we got to change the game. Hey, we've got to make more balls in play, fewer strikeouts. No one wants to just watch people strike out. And I agree with all of that. I mean, we want to see the best infielders in the world, you know, get more ground balls and more action and make this feel incentivized to steal, you know, all the great plays of the ways the game was exciting in the 80s and 90s. But that's sort of the counterpoint, what we saw yesterday. I mean, that was a sit up and take notice show. How Carlos Rodon was just getting one swinging strike after another. I mean, he struck out 12 in 5 innings, and that's Giants ever done that before. So he already, by the third inning, he had generated more swings and misses than Matt Cain did in this perfect game. That just tells you how good his stuff was, how overpowering he was. I don't think I've seen a start like that or a starting pitcher dominate like that since Cam Lincecum, and we're talking Timmy in his Cy years.
Yeah, just sensational stuff. It really was reminiscent. You reminded us of this in your game story. Tim Lincecum with the no-hitter he threw in San Diego had more swings and misses, but he did it on, of course, 148 pitches. Rodon did this on, 89 pitches? And it was from the outset, the way he got Jorge Soler, and then comes back in the second inning and goes all breaking stuff. I mean, this is someone who, yes, you can understand that Kevin Gausman reached his potential in San Francisco, and you can understand why the Giants didn't want to sign him to the 5-year, $110 million pack that the Blue Jays got him for, but you can also understand why Farhan Zaidi may think that the 1-2 combination of Logan Webb and Carlos Rodon could be just as good, if not better, right?
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. He's such a perfect fit for the Giants because you might say to yourself, in a sort of a conventional way of thinking, oh, well, he's going to have to get some more contact outs in there too. I mean, you know, he's at 90 pitches in 5 innings. He's never going to throw a complete game that way. He's never going to complete 7 or 8 innings. The Giants don't care about that. They want him. They want a starting pitcher to go out and dominate for as long as they can. But you know, they feel really good about the relief options. They feel really good about the depth that they have, and they will happily take 5 or 6 innings every single time with Carlos Rodon doing something like that, and turn the rest of the game over to their bullpen. We used to always value pitchers, I think, for, hey, you know, he threw 200 innings, you know, this many years in a row. He threw 220 innings, you know, whatever. I don't think it's the quantity that makes the starting pitcher as valuable. I think it's the ability to go out and dominate in maybe a little bit of a more concentrated burst. And if you're Gerrit Cole, if you're one of the sort of unicorns out there, then you can throw the 200 innings and you still dominate. But there's just very few guys in the game who can do that. So I think that Rodon is just a really good fit for the support network that he has, what the Giants are going to expect from him, what else they can populate around him. And, he's got to stay healthy. Obviously, he doesn't have that track record. But if the Giants use him right, maybe he'll have a better chance of doing that. So as far as the debut goes, I just don't think it could have gotten any better, unless except the fact that they lost the game.
Indeed. Giants lineup only with one run yesterday. Chatting with Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic, Giants beat reporter. You hear him on KMBR all week. Kind enough to join us here on Talking Baseball on the Giants pregame show. Bags, one more for you before we let you go. You alluded to they lost the game. They scored just one run yesterday. I think today is a huge test, because if there was a question mark about this Giants offense coming into the regular season, it was how are they going to hit left-handed pitching after losing Buster Posey, after losing Chris Bryant, after losing Donovan Solano, no Evan Longoria for the first month of the season. Obviously, Ramos is part of the solution. Who else will you be watching closely today, and who else will the Giants be relying on throughout the year to mash righties?
Yeah, the Longoria injury is a big deal, and I wonder if Ramos would be up if not for that. That may be one circumstance that sort of hastened this. But because he had the best OPS against left-handed pitching in the major leagues when he crashed into Brandon Crawford. People don't realize that. And there's really no guarantee that what version of Evan Longoria, who's pushing 36 years old, they're going to see when he does come back. So, it's always a good thing to get off to a good start, not only for the obvious reasons that you get some wins on the board early, but you just build that confidence and you build that momentum and you build more buy-in. And I remember asking Mike Yastrzemski a little bit before spring training started, I said, do you show up after winning 107 games and just assume that all of this is in place now, all this infrastructure has been built, this belief system, this buy-in? And he said, no, you got to rebuild it every single year. So the faster start that the Giants can get off to, obviously, the better. That's true for every team in every season, but especially when you've got the Dodgers in your division. It's we all know the questions about this offense. Did they do enough? And I think, the sooner they can kind of show that this can be a functional offense in the aggregate, like it was last year, I think the better will be for everybody.
Absolutely. And you mentioned it earlier, if the Giants score just one run today and they see Seiya Suzuki doing what he's doing for the Chicago Cubs, there will be a little bit of disappointment, a little bit of frustration from Giants fans, even though they did win 107 last year. Hey, Andrew Baggerly, thank you so much for joining us here on Talking Baseball. Always appreciate it, and enjoy the game today.
Hey, thanks, Kerry. Appreciate the time.
All right, he is Andrew Baggerly. Up next, Marty. He goes in the booth at Oracle Park. Giants broadcaster on the way. You're listening to the Giants pregame show. Marty Lurie, Bill Lasky, Kerry Crowley, KBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.